You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
What is up, faithful? It's another episode of the 49ers Web Zone No Huddle Podcast. I'm Brian. He's Al. The 49ers have made it through the first wave of free agency, and Al and I have some differing opinions. I feel like we were chatting a little bit on Friday, and I think you guys are gonna have a treat. I think you guys are getting negative Al this offseason.
And I don't know if it's full swing negative Al, but just concerned. There's some right. Al's a little concerned.
All right.
Al's so we're going to and Al's concerned about you. That's where I am. Brian, before we get into that, though, I did want to say I was thinking whenever it all went down, Justin Fields gets traded away for a 6th round pick.
Yes.
Kenny Pickett gets traded away. He's essentially a backup now in Philadelphia. And I was just thinking about the last 3 quarterback drafts. And really, you know, look, when you take a quarterback, especially in the first round, you are mortgaging your future in a lot of ways. Like, you're tying your franchise to this guy.
Yeah.
The 2021 class may be one of the most disappointing of all time. I mean, of all time, the way that it's shaking out.
Sure.
And if my math was right, I went through and looked. So there's been 33 QBs taken in the last 3 drafts, 9 of them in the first round. I would argue that at worst, Brock Purdy is top 3, and you could argue he's even higher. The only people even in the conversation with Purdy would be CJ Stroud to me, it looked unbelievable this year.
Sure. Yep.
And do some people still want to put Trevor Lawrence there? I don't know. But Purdy's certainly the most accomplished quarterback out of those 3. And it's pretty amazing when you think about it. Just any 3-year span of drafts, if you have a quarterback who's the best in that 3-year span, or you can make the argument. I mean, you hit a home run there. I mean, they hit a huge swing and miss with Trey Lance, but the Purdy pick was unbelievable. And the more I think about Purdy, not only has he accomplished this, but he's done it really without any learning curve. There was really no like, oh, well, he's going through his bumps, he'll get better. First drive was a touchdown pass to Juszczyk, right? That was the first drive. And he's never looked back. So you just think about how incredible this run has been for him. Not only is he arguably the best QB taken in the last 3 years. He's definitely the most accomplished. That's inarguable. FedEx Air Player of the Year.
Yes.
Super Bowl, 2 NFC championships. He led the NFL in how many passing categories?
MVP discussion this year.
Top 4 MVP, inarguably the most accomplished in the last 3 years. It's really incredible, man. And I think people when they want to knock Purdy or they want to say anything about Purdy, think about it. Not only did this kid come in as a 7th round pick, not only did he come in as a rookie, he's never had any ups and downs, really. Not really. a bad game here or there, but not a bad stretch where you're like, okay, well, he's just got to go through this. He's been consistently good, and that's incredible for any young quarterback.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I feel like one of the things, and it has already started a little bit, but I think one of the things that you're going to see in the NFL as we move forward is a bit of a shift in quarterback evaluation. I think when it comes to drafting a quarterback in the first round, it's just essentially kind of a lottery ticket for you, right? Like, you're going to draft on highest upside, if you will, and then hope that the intangibles, the football between the ears is enough to combine with the tools to have, you know, a franchise quarterback. And I think what's been interesting is that those past three drafts outside of CJ Stroud, there hasn't been a quarterback whose intriguing tool set has been combined with a good processing football mind. And that's where I think Brock Purdy really outshines those quarterbacks that have pretty much, you can argue, have failed thus far. And you know, it's interesting. I was listening to the Athletic Football Show has a show within their feed called the Football GM Show, and it's with Mike Sando, friend of the show, and former GM and longtime scout Randy Mueller. And they were talking about Sam Darnold, and they were just talking about, for Randy Mueller, he really liked what the Vikings did in having the balls to say no to Kirk Cousins, and then using that money that they would have signed Kirk Cousins with, and they brought in, you know, I think three or four guys to help the team get better overall that they wouldn't have been able to do if they signed Kirk Cousins, and then brought in Sam Darnold at $10 million. And the question that Sando posed to Mueller was, what do you say to the people? Because Mueller liked that move. And he says, what do you say to the people who are like, listen, the only reason you like that move is because you're tied to a former evaluation of the player when he was coming out in the draft, but he hasn't won anything in the NFL and whatnot. And he said, I don't disagree with that. He said, I form my opinion based on the film. And he felt like the film that Darnold showed this past year, while as 49er fans, we weren't necessarily thrilled when he was in, showed enough for him to be like, I'm willing to take this gamble while also looking at drafting a young quarterback. And then again, using those resources to upgrade the team in other areas. But what he said was, when you talk to scouts and GMs, the biggest thing with Sam Darnold is his inability to process at the line of scrimmage, that the game seems too fast for him on game day. Mm-hmm. And when things go south, they go south quick. And yeah, that's again, yeah. And that's again, what we talk about with Brock Purdy is the game has never seemed too big for him. He never seems like, whether he's playing well or whether he's playing bad, it doesn't snowball in him. You know, did he play terrible against the Ravens? Sure. Were all of those interceptions on him? Not all of them, right? But you also just have to give kudos to a defense every once in a while that just has a good plan. But I think what's hard to do with the quarterback position is scout for those things, to scout for football IQ, scout for processing, because there's a lot of college football offenses that don't require that of the quarterback. And so then,
which is also getting a little scary, the way that college football is not preparing these guys.
Yeah. Not preparing quarterbacks and not preparing offensive linemen. That's a totally different a subject. But you know, when it comes to Brock Purdy, is he the most athletically gifted quarterback in the NFL? No. Is he a bottom 10 in terms of tools? Maybe, right? But he's got enough mobility and he's got enough arm to succeed in a Kyle Shanahan offense as long as he's able to process at the speed that he can. And he's shown that he can. So again, I don't necessarily see a situation where Brock Purdy falls off next year, because what makes him good isn't something that's going to change year over year over year. Can he process? Yes. Is he going to stop being able to process? No. So now it's about, can he now take those tools and start to figure out how to beat teams when they do things like what the Chiefs did, which is go more man coverage, take away some of those routes.
Right.
That's the next step in his evolution. But yeah, I don't think it's, I mean, I have no problem saying that of the past three seasons, he is not arguably a top three drafted quarterback in the NFL. And I would say, I would say he's only behind, I would say he's two behind CJ Stroud. I think he's leapfrogged Trevor Lawrence because I just haven't seen a lot from Trevor Lawrence outside of knowing what his tool set is to say, yeah, he's better than Brock Purdy.
And I think with Purdy too, what you saw in the playoffs, like you said about not faltering, not things as he moves forward, is kids get rattled, right? Things happen that gets in their head. Well, you saw just in the postseason, he played like shit for an entire game. And then when they needed a huge drive against Green Bay, he did it.
Yep.
The world was falling down around him in that NFC Championship game. They played as bad as a half as they probably maybe played all season. And he comes back in the second half and plays great and gets the Super Bowl. And then the Super Bowl, he doesn't win, but at no point did I feel like that game was too big for him. And he made a lot of big plays. See, there were some plays he wants to have back, I'm sure. But yeah, he made a lot of big plays and he just showed over and over again that, yeah, the moment isn't too big, that I am the guy, that I can do this. So, yeah, that's the thing that you can't – I don't care how fast you run. I don't care how good your arm is. I don't care what you look like in shorts. People don't know, you know, what kind of heart you have. That sounds cheesy, mm-hmm. but, you know, what kind of heart you have or what's in between your ears. A lot of times you don't know until you know, until you see somebody on the field. That's kind of where Brock is.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Somebody, to transition, Brian, somebody who did look good in shorts, who does have a cannon arm, who does have mobility, who was the second pick in the draft. There's some rumors that this particular quarterback, who's been an absolute bust on the
disaster,
doesn't seem to have, well, I don't want to talk about his heart. I don't know, but doesn't seem to maybe have it between the ears.
Doesn't have that dog in him.
Doesn't have that dog in him. Maybe doesn't have the support of his teammates. That guy, Zach Wilson, there's some rumors that the Niners might be interested, maybe, in him as a backup. This is how I look at it. This is how I look at it. This is how I look at backups. Unless, for the most part, there's some instances where backups come in and great things happen, right? Nick Foles comes in, you win a Super Bowl. Jeff Hostetler, Doug Williams years ago were able to come in and the team still won a Super Bowl. Sometimes a young quarterback who's a backup may step in. And then he goes, oh, my God, we found somebody. Tom Brady, Kurt Warner, Brock Purdy, right? But for the most part, what you want out of a backup is if our quarterback's out for a month, if they miss five games, whatever, can we stay afloat? Can we go 3-2? Can our season not blow up? Because usually if your back has to start the whole year, you're in trouble. Just can this guy keep us afloat if a minor, you know, month or so injury happens? Can Zach Wilson do that? I have not seen any evidence that he can. Can Brandon Allen do that? I don't think we've seen any evidence that he can either. I know that he was Joe Burrow's backup for a while, which was a high-profile position.
Yeah.
Because that was a Super Bowl team. But we don't know. Well, we haven't seen enough out of him either. So at this point, I don't know who the Niners go to for a backup quarterback. I would love for it not to be Zach Wilson, but maybe he's one of those guys. Shanahan's just like, let me get him in here. Let me see what I can do with him. I think I can, you know, just tell him you throw the ball here because, you know, that's basically what Kyle wants out of his offense anyway, right?
Yeah.
So throw the ball here. So maybe he feels Zach Wilson has the tools and he can coach him into it. But I don't know. I mean, the good backups, they couldn't afford. I don't know. You know, Jacoby Brissett's.
I think Brissett's probably trying to go somewhere where he could compete. You know, I think is he still on the market? Because I feel like
he's not
New England. No. Oh, who did he sign?
He went sign with New England. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I would say that's the perfect place for Jacoby Brissett. Here's the thing about Zach Wilson. The 49ers trade for Zach Wilson. They have to pay him $1 million next year. $1,055,000. That's his base salary for 2024. The cap hit for the Jets is $11.1 million, but that's a roster bonus of $4.39 million and a signing bonus of $5.7 million. I don't know when that roster bonus, hits. And so if they trade him pre 6-1, then they spread that $10 million cap hit over 2 years. If they trade him post 6-1, then it's just that signing bonus, because that roster bonus has already been paid out. So I think at most the 49ers would have to pay Zach Wilson $5 million, which is I think roughly what they're paying Brandon Allen. So in terms of financially speaking, not an issue for them whatsoever, even though he was the number two overall pick. Most of that money is bonus money that the Jets have already paid out. Second, there's no chance that Zach Wilson comes in here and anybody thinks that he has any shot at anything other than QB2. He's not competing for QB1. He's not doing that, right? And so does he have the personality and the, you know, the team first mentality that a QB2 or a QB3 has to have? I don't know that he does.
I think out of here quick on this team. I don't think
agreed.
This team will put up with that shit at
agreed.
All.
Agreed. So. You know, and that's the thing. Again, if they trade for him, he's battling Brandon Allen for QB2. They're going to carry three quarterbacks. They did it last year. They'll do it this year. That's the whole thing, right? It's just that third quarterback is inactive on game day unless, you know, they're the emergency quarterback. And so, again, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I don't think he'd be a distraction, and I just don't think that he would do anything that would jeopardize anything for the 49ers. So it really is just a flyer. But then again, what are you doing with Zach Wilson when he becomes a free agent next year? Like, honestly, what's the point of trading for 1 year of Zach Wilson versus drafting a guy in round 5, 6, or 7 that you think that you can mold into, again, Brock Purdy's backup? Then you have him on a very cheap 4-year deal. And then, you know, that cycle seems far more I guess, far more palatable to me and a better scenario than trading for Zach Wilson. You've already got Brandon Allen. He's already a proven backup in this league. I don't feel like you need to feel any kind of way about that backup quarterback position other than we need a third quarterback in here. And like I said, I would rather see that in the draft.
Yeah, someone brought up round 7 in the draft, Sam Hartman. I'm a Notre Dame guy, and Hartman looked great against bad teams, and he looked rough against good teams. So Hartman scares me a little bit.
Hartman's arm is worse than Purdy's. So I think Hartman
he would be a guy for me.
I don't know. I agree with that though. I did a mock draft the other day. Again, I just do them for fun, whatever. And Hartman was available, and then I was just kind of reading some of his draft profile, and I was like, that probably doesn't really work. But again, that would be a cheap backup. Again, what do you want out of your QB2 or QB3, right?
Like, well, I think, you know, I'll tell you what I want. I want someone, again, this is, we'll talk about it a little bit when we talk about the roster. This is still a win now team. This is still a team that has guys nearing the end of their contract that if worse happens, if disaster strikes, you want someone who's not going to completely blow the season up. You want someone who's still going to give you a chance, even if you're winning like Jimmy Garoppolo, where he's throwing 15 times in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, does Zach Wilson do that? Is Ryan Tannehill still out there? He is, right?
He is, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what he's looking for money-wise, but so, and again, not that I think Tannehill's great. I'm not talking about him as a starter, but I would feel okay if he started a month for the Niners. I feel like they could find ways to win with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's a guy maybe. I don't know what he's looking for money-wise. I don't know if he's looking to go somewhere and kind of, maybe somewhere like Denver where he'd be a bridge guy. I don't know. But he'd be somebody I'd like to see more than Wilson. Like you said, because what happened with Darnold is they brought him in for a year. Let's say he learned all these things under Kyle. Mm-hmm. They didn't need him, and now he's off in Minnesota. So, yeah, I don't know. I think Brandon Allen shouldn't be somebody who you're really tied to either. If you can get like a Tannehill or whoever you think could be a good backup, and then you do draft a guy anyway, you can get Brandon Allen. I mean, that's not, you know, you can still figure that out. So, well, but I agree with you. I think they probably should draft someone this year to bring in the
building. Yeah. Well, and I feel like the Sam Darnold signing, again, was a hedge. It was a hedge because they still didn't know what was going to happen with Brock Purdy and his elbow. And they still didn't know what they could or would get from Trey Lance. So that Darnold signing was always a hedge to begin with, which is why he signed with San Francisco, because I guarantee in that negotiation, they're like, look, we don't know where Brock is. Like, we don't know if he's going to be able to start the season.
That's true.
Trey's coming off an injury. Like, you may be able to compete for a starting job here because we don't know what's going on. So that's why he signed during legal tampering, right? Same thing now. He's. I guarantee Minnesota's like, we're bringing you in as a starting quarterback. We're going to draft a guy, but we're bringing you in to start this season, or at the very least, compete with that guy for a position. So they're not going to get somebody like that. But the question is, like, why are they so obsessed with failed Jets quarterbacks? Like, that's weird. Like, let's at least go to someone from a different organization. You know who they could bring in? For Tyler Heineke is still out there, I believe. I don't think he. I think
is he?
The.
Is
Heineke I
believe still
the.
Out there?
I believe the Falcons let him go. I could be wrong, but I would imagine they're not looking to pay Heineke and Kirk Cousins. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing too with some of these guys. They may, if they do get let go, or they may be looking for more than the 49ers can give them too, because you're not, you're not starting unless, again, disaster strikes. So,
right.
But so anyway, Brian mentioned him and I were texting. You know, maybe I had a few drinks Friday night when I was texting these guys. I may or may not have, but I was going back and forth with Brian and Dave Bonilla, who runs the WebZone site, just talking about kind of what the Niners are doing, as we do sometimes, just kind of shooting the shit with it or whatever. Brian was pretty optimistic, like he likes what's going on. I have concerns, not so much that, like, listen, I don't think they're going to be bad this year. They're still going to be a playoff team. But the way that I looked at this offseason, and I guess the way that I am still looking at this offseason is kind of like this. So the Niners, I thought, would be about two things. One, trying to add talent to get one more run out of this core, and also trying to retool for 2025. So sort of two things at once. Now, almost everybody they've brought in, well, it is everybody they brought in, is basically a one-year deal. You can, like, get out of them. Like, it's 1 year, and then you don't need that. That 2 year can go away. It's not like they're committed to people. I don't think any of them really for 2 years. Maybe Gross Matos. I'd have to look at the contract. But, you know, even somebody like Malik Collins, who I like, Leonard Floyd, these are one-year deal guys. Floyd's 32. Collins, I think, is 29. And the rest is all kind of 1 year. So it seems to me now what they're doing is they're looking at short-term fixes, knowing that they're going to have to pay Purdy. And they're making moves around that. And I know that they can structure Purdy's contract in a way where the higher cap hits go come down the line a little bit. But they still are going to go from like $1 million to whatever that first year has. It's still going to be something that they have to consider. So at that point, what's going to happen is your core group is going to shift. Some of these older players are not going to be there anymore. They're just not. Trent Williams is not going to play. He's 50 years old. He's 37 years old. Yeah. George Kittle's in his 30s. You have guys who are getting older now that you're going to transition away from. And I don't care what anybody says, the last three drafts have hurt them, absolutely hurt them. So really, if what Mike Silver says is true, and there's no reason to think that what Mike says isn't true because he's usually right, Hufanga is not even guaranteed a starting spot. You don't know what he's going to come back from his knee. He already didn't have, you know, the best speed in the world, right? He wasn't the fastest guy. So maybe they're just saying, you know, look, we don't know with his knee. We're not going to pay him. So that's one more person in these last three drafts that isn't a foundational piece. Aaron Banks likely won't get a second contract, and he's not a foundational player anyway. So you have Purdy, maybe Lenore, and that's it. After you got in the previous drafts, Warner and Kittle and Bosa, Debo, Greenlaw, Ayuk, and all these guys that you were able to build around, bring in free agents and trades around them. So that's the thing too. Like, and that's why I think the 2024 draft is so important.
Yeah.
They need to infuse this team with young talent, youth, guys who are going to be, you're able to build around for the next 3 or 4 years and give second contracts to. Not Eli Mitchell is not, he's a good draft pick, but he's not a foundational piece draft pick, right? If you have guys like that who are role player, good draft pick late, but he's not a foundational piece who's going to be a Fred Warner. The Niners are as good as they are right now. They're the 49ers because of all those guys I just named, all these foundational pieces that they drafted and be able to give second contracts to. Even Eric Armstead, who's now gone, but he was a guy previous regime, but this regime gave him the second contract. He's been a foundational piece. Where are those guys after 2024? They better find him in the draft.
Yeah.
That's kind of where my head is right now.
And I feel like, that's why I feel like if you step back and look at the moves that they've made, what these moves are going to allow them to be is flexible in the draft, right? This team had needs. It needed to revamp this defensive line. It needed a defensive end opposite Nick Bosa. We believe that there needs to be an upgrade along the offensive line. I think this team views the offensive line as, if we can get an upgrade, we would love to. We're not going to be able to do that in free agency. We don't have the money. So we have to look to the draft for that. But they don't have a need like, we don't have a starting right tackle. We don't have a starting right guard, right? Like, on the offensive side of the ball, every player that had a massive influence on the offense, who played the majority of the snaps, everybody is coming back. The offense is whole, and it was going to be anyway. It was the defense that we saw a lot of departures, because again, it was kind of patchwork together, trades, you know, picked up Randy Gregory off the trash heap, like all of that stuff. But I think what they did was they said, all right, so we're going to use free agency to fill the holes that we know we have on defense, which is defensive line upgrades and depth, cornerback depth, which is where that Isaac Yiadom signing comes. They also signed Chase Lucas, who's probably just a special teams guy. They also upgraded a lot of the special teams areas with some of these signings, which again, isn't sexy, but you know, it is what it is. But what I think all of this allowed them to do, while they didn't make any splash signings, no big trades, nothing like that, which we anticipated that they might because they're trying to run it back for one more season, they are still, in my opinion, along the defensive line, better than they were in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. Leonard Floyd is a proven pass rusher. He has averaged 10 sacks over the last four seasons. You nailed it on the last episode. The last defensive end opposite Nick Bosa to have six or more sacks was Dee Ford in 2019. Since 2019, there hasn't been a defensive end on the team opposite Nick Bosa who's had more than six sacks. Now, you might be screaming,
Arden Key might have too.
I don't think he had six and a half. I think he had less than that. But, but some of you might be yelling about, who's it? The Chris Kasurek special from the Detroit Lions. No, from the Detroit Lions. He came over. He had like nine sacks, but that was the year that Bosa went down, right? So again, we're talking about opposite Bosa.
You're talking Kerry Hyder?
Kerry Hyder, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
So the defensive line is better, right? And if you look at, I think the move that is the most shrewd that they made is the trade for Malik Collins. Malik Collins is 2 years younger than Arik Armstead. He played almost 200 more snaps than Armstead did in 2023. And he had the same level of production as Armstead. Now you can look at that and go, well, obviously Armstead's better because he had 200 less snaps, but still the same level of production. And I understand that. But again, what you're trying to replace is Armstead's production. So you're doing that, and instead of paying Arik Armstead $28 million against the cap, you're paying Malik Collins $8 million against the cap. That's a shrewd move. I like that move a lot. Collins replaces Armstead in that alpha team rotation, and then you've got Yeter Gross-Matos, who to me is like Charles Omenihu. He's got inside-outside versatility, and again, a depth piece there. You've got Floyd to bookend Bosa, and then you've got guys that you also have to allow your young guys to step up, like a Drake Jackson, like a Robert Beal Jr., right? Like, you have got to allow those players the opportunity to show that they can produce for your team. And so what they did was, with value signings, they plugged the holes so that in the draft, they can be flexible and go best player available, right? They don't have to be pigeonholed into taking a need because there's a starter that they don't have and they got to find it in the draft. And I think that's where it's a smart way to go about it, because like you said, they're going to have needs all over this team. And if they're pigeonholed into needs for 2024 in the draft, then they're not drafting best player available that could be a strength for the team moving forward. So that's where
the window open. Yep.
Yeah. So that's where I'm like, they did enough to still be able to compete. Now, I again think the defensive line is better. I think the team is just as talented as it was in 2023, and the offense is coming back complete. And I think they are in position to compete in 2024, whether they win it or not, hard to know. That's another conversation, but they at least set themselves up for this one last ride, but also to begin to set themselves up for the future by being flexible in the draft rather than tied to having to fill a need.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And everybody wants them to take a tackle. People are mocking them to tackle. And that is a huge need. And I would be fine if they took a tackle. But like you said, they're going to have needs at a lot of different positions coming up. They need, if they took a corner, wouldn't argue with it. If they took a receiver, I wouldn't argue with it. If they took a defensive end or a defensive tackle, I wouldn't argue with it. And I'm going to tell you why. Yeah. All right, let's look at the offensive line. Let's start there. Trent Williams is 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Banks is in the last year of his contract. Jake Brendel is 32 years old. John Feliciano is 32 years old and in the last year of his contract. McKivitz is only 28, and he's signed through 2025. So you have, whatever you think of McKivitz, he's a serviceable guy
Yep.
who you do have there. But that's really, other than, so again, after 2024, it's I don't know. The secondary, Hufanga, last year of his contract. Lenore, last year of his contract. Mooney Ward, last year of his contract. Look at the entire defensive line other than Bosa. You're going to be in the same position next year you are this year. Yeah. You're looking to fill everybody right now because you can get out of Hargrave's deal. And I'm sorry, he's got to show me more this year because to me, he's more of a declining player who's going to be 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Floyd at 32 in a one-year deal. Collins is a two-year deal with no guaranteed money in the second year.
Right.
Gross Matos, again, if it is a two-year deal, it's not like they can't get out of it. All these other guys, it's basically one-year type deals offensively. McCaffrey's had, what, 800 touches, I think, the last 2 years when you include the playoffs?
Yep.
So if he has another 300, 350-touch season, he's going to be 28, 29 years old in 2025. Everybody loves McCaffrey, and the guy's phenomenal. Running backs don't keep doing that to that age. Maybe you need a running back in 2025 or somebody to at least take the load off of him. Is Debo going to be there in 2025? George Kittle is going to be 32 in 2025. Is he still the same guy? So, again, yeah. All of these – just more and more and more. It's like, and again, Kittle maybe, but eventually you got to maybe take the burden off or bring somebody to eventually replace him. So that's just where I am with the team right now. And that I'm seeing needs that are going to 2024. We're good. 2025, a lot of question marks. And I'm not saying that Lynch and Shanahan aren't going to fill the voids. We've seen them do it. I'm saying the last three drafts hurt and now they need to start doing it again. Here's the other thing people are not talking about where my concern comes in. It's not negative because, again, these guys have done it. Well, I'm going to say two things, actually. So the first is that they have played 60 games in the last 3 years. That takes a toll on anybody, especially yeah. when you get so close and don't get there. Now you're playing 60 games with what was the third oldest team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
That I think has gotten older. Remember that they've, you know, their signing is like 30 years old or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to take its toll on them. And here's the other thing that is, to me, isn't talked about enough. And I'm going to bring up the Yankees with this. Okay. When the Yankees won all those World Series in 96, 2001, you had guys come in and out, but really it was the core guys, O'Neill, Jeter, Bernie, Tino, Pettit, Rivera, and other guys came in and out. Once those guys kind of left, the team kind of changed. They're still really good,
yeah.
But you didn't see that. That's where I think with the Niners too, people are just like, "Oh yeah, they're gonna keep winning playoff games." This is a special group of players:
mm-hmm.
Kittle, Bosa, Armstead, Debo,
Williams.
Warner, Trent Williams. Now you can put Purdy into there. I think he's been really good in the playoffs. This is a special group that's been able to make these plays over and over again. You just don't replace guys who are that clutch in the playoffs. Look at all these other teams who get in the playoffs and lose. Dallas, tons of talent. They don't have the core guys who just seem to get it done in January like the 49ers do, right? We've seen it over and over and over again. Now, you're going to have your teams like the Chiefs who have the best quarterback in the world or the Patriots. And when that happens, they can make up for a lot of things. But the Niners have a core of players who are special. And as those special players leave, it's very hard to get more special players, or more teams would go on these runs in January like the Niners do. The Niners have gone on these runs without an elite best of the best quarterback. Purdy is really, really good, but he's still a young quarterback. But they were doing it before with a quarterback who was throwing 15 passes because the core, because the defense, because the other guys are able to get it done. As those guys progress and leave, there's no saying the guys you're going to bring in are any special like that. And I think that's not talked about enough. The Niners core, they're great players. They are special players. And I don't care if they ever won a championship. I get that that's frustrating. And I get that they maybe have missed their opportunity. But just to do what they've done, special. The Bills, they lost 4 Super Bowls in a row. It doesn't mean those players weren't special. That's really, really hard to do. So that's kind of where I am with it too. Like, I don't know. Like, we have to see what happens. But odds are, and they're really strong odds that you're not going to get another run like that from your next group. You're just not. It just doesn't happen unless you have an elite quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows? Again, we think Brock Purdy – we know that Brock Purdy was really good in 2023, so much so that he was in the MVP conversation. We believe that Brock Purdy will continue to be at least that good moving forward. We have no reason to think that he won't. Now, he has to show that, but – that's where we are. So, but there, I don't know that you'll ever argue with somebody that Brock Purdy is one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And that's because, again, I think there are limitations to his game. Although some of those limitations were the same limitations that Drew Brees had. And we always talked about Drew Brees as one of the elite quarterbacks, right? Because Drew Brees' superpower was his accuracy, you know, his timing, all of that. But if they do have that combination of Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, and Brock Purdy is what we think he is, then that is always going to be a baseline level of being able to compete for the playoffs in the NFL. If you've got a quarterback and a play caller and an offense that you can rely on, that is the quickest way to stay relevant in the NFL. Again, still to be seen. But, you know, you talked about like Gross Matos. So his is a 2-year deal. They do have an out after 2025. So it really is a 2-year deal. His cap hit in 2024 is $3.2 million. His cap hit in 2025 is $9.6 million. It's essentially a 2-year deal. And that's a reasonable deal for a rotational, you know, a defensive end with again, kind of with that inside outside versatility. The other thing is Gross Matos is 26 years old. So you see him for 2 years and maybe you go, hey, we can extend him for another 2 years, right? I think that's, they brought in some older guys like a Floyd, but they also brought in some younger guys. And in my mind, it reminds me of like what they did with, you know, with Samson Ebukam. And after 2 years, they let Ebukam walk because he earned a contract that they're like, we're not willing to pay you for what we need you to do, right? And maybe that happens with Gross Matos. But it is, this draft and next draft are essential for setting the stage for the next iteration of what this team looks like. But to be perfectly honest, I don't know that we know what that looks like. Outside of, you could argue, Brock Purdy, Brandon Ayuk, Fred Warner, and Nick Bosa, right? Like those four are the core moving forward just based on age and all of that, unless they do trade Ayuk, which I still don't think is off the table, especially if they get the sense that Ayuk is going to want to command even more than Calvin Ridley, which rightfully so, he should. He's better than Calvin Ridley, but you know, Rand Carthen absolutely screwed the market with that. Yeah, I mean, we can't say anything other than it is imperative that they nail this draft. And my question is, can they nail this draft and also maybe trade some draft capital this year for a young player that could be a part of the core moving forward? And my thought on that is the Browns have talked about possibly that Greg Newsome could be available. I wouldn't mind them looking into that. You know, Greg Newsome is a talented corner. He's, I think, 25 or 26. Could they extend Mooney Ward? There's talk that what I love is Mooney Ward got on Twitter yesterday and he was like, hey, do you guys want Tre'Davious White on the 49ers? We have the same agent. Should I do some recruiting? And everyone replied, they're like, yeah. And so now it sounds he's on Twitter. It seems like he's actively recruiting Tre'Davious White. That's a signing where I'm like, hey, take a flyer on Tre'Davious White. He's injured, right? He's coming off another injury, but you take a flyer on someone like that. And again, you just give yourself flexibility. I would take Justin Simmons in free agency. I think you have to have a veteran. I think you have to have a veteran back there. You don't know what's going to happen with Hufanga, what he's going to be like coming off the injury. And Jair Brown looked promising, but I'm not looking for two young safeties in a defense. I need a veteran out there to kind of, you know, set the tone, if you will. So yeah, I think if you go after Simmons in free agency, I think they could. There's also one other safety available, and I can't remember off the top of my head who it is. Is it Justin Blackmon? Could be. But anyway, I do think they're going to bring in at least one more, bring in a safety to compete with Hufanga and possibly even try and find one in the draft. So there are different, Fuaga from Washington would be phenomenal, but he's just not going to be in the range for the 49ers.
And then Nick asked if we heard about the trade with Ayuk and the Jaguars that was going, and he says 17th, first round pick for the Jaguars. Jay Jones for Ayuk. I think the thing is, if you trade Ayuk, you better get a receiver you either get a stud in the first round or you need to get another receiver somewhere because you can't take him. I don't think you could take him out of the offense. The offense is different without him. You have Debo and who?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Juwan Jennings isn't a guy that's going to get 8 or 9 balls in a game like that.
Right.
So I feel like with the Ayuk trade, the only way he's going to want a lot of money. The Niners are aggressive. The Niners pay their people, but the Niners also kind of say, you know, this is kind of, you know, we do have a worth on you. It happened with the Forrest Buckner, right?
Right.
Got too expensive. They said, okay, we're going to pivot to Armstead and we're going to let Buckner go.
And Ward.
So
it was to sign two players.
Yeah. Okay. So Armstead and Ward, right. Yeah. So does the same thing happen with Ayuk? Are they like, listen, this draft class is loaded with wide receivers. Loaded. We're not going to pay you $30 million a year when we have to pay our quarterback and Nick Bosa in a couple of years is going to be making $42 million or whatever it is against the cap.
Yeah.
We're going to draft a guy to develop because there's studs in this draft. We think we can get one or two guys that are studs. I can see that happening. If the Jags are a fit and they give them 17 and you feel you can get a receiver in there, maybe. But also on the other, well, Balky's an idiot. But for most other teams, it goes on the flip side. Why would you trade that value? Why would you trade the 17th pick and pay $30 million to a wide receiver when there's a million great ones in this draft? So that's the other thing. Are any teams really going to want to? So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with it? But it is something to keep an eye on. I think both parties want to make it work. But again, at the end of the day, Ayuk's not going to take a bargain basement deal.
Right.
You're going to have to pay him. You're going to probably pay him more than Ridley did. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, that Ridley deal was 4 years, $92 million with $50 million guaranteed. The only wide receiver in the NFL making more guaranteed money on his contract than Calvin Ridley is Tyreek Hill. Like, I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, I think essentially what Tennessee did was like, we're just going to give him something that we know the Jaguars won't match. But it, like I said, in turn, it kind of screwed everybody else because that creates an unrealistic market for guys like Brandon Ayuk, Justin Jefferson, right? And that's the other thing is Jefferson needs to be extended. And the longer the 49ers wait, the more these contracts will start to come out and then the more expensive Brandon Ayuk will become. That's why, to me, like, I know that the 49ers have their timeline for extensions and it's the end of, you know, the end of the summer, right? End of July, early August, right? That was Kittle, that was Warner, that was Bosa, right? That was Debo. Like, all of them happened at that time. But at a certain point, you have to look at the market and go, is that going to benefit us or hurt us to wait that long? Because Jefferson's going to get extended. Chase is going to get extended. Like, these guys are going to get extended and they're going to have monster numbers. So do you want to beat them like to the punch so that Ayuk's camp doesn't look at those numbers and go, hey, like, here's,
that's a great point.
Here's what I need. So
Jefferson gets 70 million or something ridiculous.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So that's another thing to think about when it comes to paying wide receivers. And like you said, it's not just this draft, but you look at the past, I would argue the past three drafts, and there are wide receivers that come out every single year. It just is a position that is creating so many superstars at the college level. And then they're just coming to the NFL and translating. Right. And so, I mean, I love Brandon Ayuk. I think Brandon Ayuk is more important to this team than Debo Samuel. Do I want to pay a wide receiver $30 million? I don't. I really don't. So, you know, if you feel like if you've got somebody that's willing to pay him that contract and is willing to give you a first round pick, I just think you have to think about it. And I also think you have to think about it if teams are calling about Debo Samuel. Because, again, it's counting $28 million against the cap and he's $25 million against the cap next year. I don't know.
If I clicked on the right thing for once. Yeah, this is so. Golden Dragon says 49ers don't target wide receiver Ayuk enough to justify anything over 25 million. He had 105 targets this year. It was 37th, I think, in the league. It's a fair point. If you're going to have a wide receiver with 37th in the league in targets, why would you pay that much money? It's a fair point, right? Or
it is
now is going to be a bigger part moving forward. If Debo's not there and you say, well, wait a minute, you're going to be the number one, you know, now your targets are going to go up to 150 or whatever it is then. But if it's status quo, it's a good point. So,
well, and then I think to myself, why has Kyle Shanahan's offense had so little in the passing game, right? Why have there been so few targets to wide receivers and things like that? Well, Kyle Shanahan hasn't had a quarterback that he trusted in this offense until Brock Purdy. So now my question becomes, Kyle Shanahan, you know, he seems to have found his guy. So now does he start to pivot a little bit? And do we start to see an offense more in line with what we saw in Atlanta with Matt Ryan, where Julio Jones is your ex, Brandon Ayuk is your ex, right? And you just feed him and feed him and feed him and feed him. I don't know. I don't know if Shanahan ran that offense out of necessity because he didn't like his running game, or if he has emphasized the running game in San Francisco because he didn't have a quarterback to trust. Again, is it the chicken or the egg? I don't know. But I think if we see the 49ers extend Ayuk and that number is huge, to me, that tells me that they are starting to pivot a little bit and might be a team that throws the ball a little bit more. Because like you said, you can't justify paying him that kind of money if you're not targeting him more than they have so far.
So Julio Jones in 16 games in 2015 had 203 targets. And in 2016 and 14 games, he had 129, which probably would have put him in the about the 150 range that year. Mm-hmm. So, which maybe could be where I was. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But all right, we got to get out of here. Subscribe to the YouTube station. Subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts for us. We're doing a show with our buddy John Chapman on Thursday on YouTube on both of our stations. So be sure to check that out. We'll be advertising that as well. And until then, for Brian, I'm out.
Later.
Let us on three. 1, 2, 3. Hey!
Sports is an Odyssey company.